We've got a little video to start with, I hope. You might recognise it.
No, we haven't talked about it openly.
Prefer to keep it private.
This is a touchy subject.
Well,
We have had a few issues.
It isn't easy talking to your family about money, but it is important. The M word from Lloyds Bank. It's good to talk about money.
Other banks are available. It's true, isn't it, that we find it difficult to talk about money. It's hard enough talking about how to split the bill when you've gone out for dinner with your friends, let alone discussing, as some families need to, whether it's the gas bill or the kids' food. And if it's hard in families, for some reason, it's equally as hard in church. I used to think it was just because we were English. And then I went to a bunch of churches in a bunch of different countries, and they've all got the same problem too. There is something about it that we struggle with. But if we talk about money in isolation, I think we miss an opportunity. We miss an opportunity to talk about the way that money is part generosity, or rather the opportunity for generosity, and that's what I want to focus on this morning. So one of my more striking experiences of generosity happened quite a few years ago in America. I was in Minnesota to celebrate a friend's wedding, and the dad of one of the bridesmaids, the relationship is not important, he lent us his van so that we could get people and stuff around town for the wedding. I say van, so it gives you like the impression of a battered old white transit. It wasn't that, it was a Dodge conversion van. So think the Dodge version of the A-Team's van with sort of plush carpets and armchairs and a CB radio hooked up and a custom number plate. It was beautiful. After the wedding, back to his daughter's house to deposit it before I flew off. And as I followed her car through northern Minneapolis, she stopped at a red traffic light. What she didn't realize was that the combination of jet lag and a lot of wedding celebration had rather caught up with the driver of the van behind her. And so I woke up to see the car being pushed out into the junction. We got right across the junction. I knocked a fire hydrant over. It totaled her car. It totaled her dad's prized van. Not my finest hour. And how no one was hurt is still beyond me. The point is that the following day I went to see her dad, which, as you can imagine, was not a comfortable conversation. I was trying to work out how I was going to afford to pay for all of this. And he refused to take it. I believe the phrase was, "She's okay, you're okay, it's just a piece of tin." It was a very nice piece of tin, and I still feel guilty about it. I've told that story before as an example of grace, which it is, and I learned a lot about grace that day. But as I thought about it, it's also staggering generosity. That yes, he was insured. Yes, she was insured. But it was going to cost him and her hundreds of dollars at the least to get all that sorted out, not to mention the fact that I think he quite liked his van. Because he paid for it himself. And that's quite an example. And then I thought about things a bit more, and I thought, well, yeah, that's fine. So we've got examples of people being generous, and most of hopefully most of us haven't totaled someone else on the other side of the world. But most of us have got examples of people being generous to us. And then I started thinking, why are my examples all about people being generous? Actually, if I think about it, there's all sorts of examples of God being generous, but it's somehow easier to relate it when it's people. It's not like I don't have any God generosity stories to tell. I remember waking up one morning in Beijing, where I was working at the time, having been thinking for a long time, some of you may notice the recurring theme in my life here, thinking for a long time about what my next job was going to be. And I woke up and I thought, I'd talked to all these people and I thought about it. Actually, Rich, I haven't prayed about it. So I sat down on my little sofa in my apartment in Beijing and I prayed. And I went down to the church office where I was volunteering on a project. And at lunchtime, Stephanie Trammell walked in and she said, Rich, there you are. We need an IT teacher for next year. Can you call the principal, please? Here's her number. I thought, okay, God, that's slightly showing off, but I'll take it. God's generosity. But I want to say something slightly contentious. See, don't take this the wrong way. God's not generous. Generous is, I'll buy you coffee today. Or, let me get that for you. It's, oh, would you like me to go and get you a coffee? It's, oh, I know you've trashed my car, but I'll pay for it, don't worry. God isn't just generous. God is radically generous. Just think about what he's given us. Let's start with life, quite important. A staggeringly beautiful and endlessly complex planet to live on. He's given us love. He's given us families, whether they're biological families or wider families. He's given us community. He gave us music. He's given us science. And that's before you get anywhere near giving us his son to die so that we don't have to. I think I sometimes find that having grown up in church, all of these sort of trip glibly off the tongue, don't they? Like, oh yes, Jesus died for me. Wonderful. Move on. If you think about it, it's baffling. It's ridiculous. Completely crazy. It's radical. So we begin to understand that God is radically generous. And we start to internalize that a bit. And then we start to realize that he's aimed that radical generosity at us. That's amazing. It's great. It's wonderful. So what are we going to do about it? That's the question, right? If God is this radically generous, what are we going to do about it? Now, Worcester Park Baptist Church, I know from experience, is already a very generous church. I've seen that firsthand. I remember a couple of years ago being tasked with taking the harvest food offering to the food bank drop-off, and I genuinely worried whether or not I was going to get it in the car with the seats down. It was masses of stuff. In the weeks after my son Jonathan was born, people showed up on the doorstep for days afterwards bearing food. I think there was one day that we got, was it three meals in one day? We had to stick some of it in the freezer. It was amazing. So we're generous. But the question I think we need to wrestle with is, what's the difference between a generous church and a radically generous church? Before Max and I met, as many of you know, she lived for a couple of years in Uganda. And a few years ago, sort of prior to having children, squeezing in all the exotic trips, we went back to visit her old haunts. And we went up to Gulu in the north of Uganda. Hired / borrowed some bloke's car and drove it 200 kilometres on dirt roads across to this little town of Abim, where she'd been living. We took our time over it. We met a few more people on the way. So we were late by the time we arrived. One of Meg's old colleagues, a lady called Catherine, had made us lunch. Never mind that it was mid-afternoon. She was going to serve it to us. So we pulled up outside her house. When I say house, she lived in basically a mud hut that was about 18, 20 feet across. She had no running water. Her lighting was a single light bulb powered by a little solar panel on the roof. That was her life. And she'd cooked for us. There was the staple Ugandan rice and beans, which is just everywhere. But there was some meat, which would have been expensive. There was more vegetables, and there was piles of it. I slightly regretted the fact that I'd eaten as much for the other lunch that we hadn't told her about as I had. For someone with as little as to bless us who had so much more. You know, we'd flown into Uganda on a nice jet and sort of lived it up a bit while we were there. And yet she wanted to be generous. And the best bit was that she did it with the biggest African smile plastered across her face that you've ever seen. It was fabulous. And even though she had less and we had more, I don't think in any way she felt that she was any the less for it. And that's the thing. I think it's really easy to think that if we give stuff away, then we'll have less. Because we all went to primary school and, well, you know, 3 minus 2 is less than 3. But weirdly, the reverse is often true. So the more generous we are, the more generous we're able to be. And the more content we find ourselves with what we do have. So Jesus put it like this. I'm going to read from the Message version to keep you on your toes. But this is Luke 6, verse 38. He says, give away your life, and you'll find life given back. Not merely given back, though. Given back with bonus and a blessing. Giving, not getting, is the way. And generosity begets generosity. So the blessing he's talking about there isn't necessarily material. This isn't prosperity gospel here. You know, resources are finite and we have to live within our means. But our souls, our relationships with each other, our relationships with God are enriched, deepened and strengthened when we are. And perhaps the most powerful thing about being generous for us as Christians is that it helps us to understand God just a little bit better, because God is generous. And when we're generous, we get to see the world through God's eyes. And that helps us to understand a bit more of his kindness, his justice and his mercy. So let's get practical. What might radical generosity look like here in Worcester Park in 2019? We've all got, I reckon, basically 4 things that we can be generous with. We've got our money, our stuff, time, and our expertise. All of us can give at least one of them. Most of us. So volunteering, you know, I work for a charity, and we benefit from the work of some wonderful volunteers. One retired couple are particularly helpful. He's really well connected to churches across the Southwest, and he gets us plugged into those networks. He also had a long career as an IT project manager, which means that he's been able to really help us keep some of our projects on track. She was a writer and an editor, and now edits pro bono our biannual magazine. It's the best bit of stuff we produce, and she does it all for free. Both of them give an incredible amount of time to our work, and they bring the expertise that they gained in their careers, and they use it because they care about the cause of the charity. So what causes are you passionate about? What gets your heart going? What gets you out of bed in the morning? And is there something that you could do to contribute time or expertise into that cause? Now, if that cause happens to be Worcester Park Baptist Church, believe me, there are opportunities. So, a non-exhaustive list would look something like helping out with brigades, helping out with creche, helping out with Sunday school. Karis put a plug in about that, so I'll amplify the plug. Helping to fix things when they break, because at the moment David Hicks seems to do it all. Getting involved in music on Sundays, meeting with the parents of children who come to groups or holiday Bible club here, helping out with some church administration, joining the Open the Book team, joining in with seasonal activities like the Christmas Journey, helping out at lunch break or Thursday fellowship, and there's probably a ton of others that I've missed. Things that we can do that don't cost us anything, except a bit of time. That's still generosity. And that's the thing that I'm really trying to get at here, is that, yes, we can talk about, we must talk about money. But there's so much more to generosity than just that. So if you want to explore opportunities for volunteering, please do come and have a chat, either to me, one of the other deacons, to Karis, or anyone else who looks like they know what they're talking about. We will get you plugged in. But having said all that, let's talk briefly about money. It's hard, but it's important. Right up front, it's quite difficult to establish too many principles because everyone's financial situation is different. So let's have a look at Luke 21, verses 1 to 4. Again, this is from the Message. Just then he looked up and saw the rich people dropping offerings in the collection plate. Then he saw a poor widow put in 2 pennies. And he said, the plain truth is that this widow's given by far the largest offering today. All these others made offerings they'll never miss. She gave extravagantly what she couldn't afford. She gave her all. I'm really challenged by that. I don't know about you. So it's clear that some of us ought to be expecting to give more or less than others. There's a long biblical tradition of 10% of everything that we earn. That's a great starting point. But if our goal is radical generosity, then can we afford to give more than that? I'm not saying we must. Now, guilt is a terrible motivator. If you feel guilty about something, you'll do it to stop yourself feeling guilty about it. And as soon as you don't feel guilty about it, you'll stop doing it. That's human nature. Love and the response to love, now that one lasts. And so it's really helpful to, when we're thinking about our giving, why are we giving? Keeping that in perspective. So, on the subject of how much, sometimes I think we can help ourselves by asking subtly different questions. So instead of the question, can I afford to give X? Maybe the question could be, how much can I get away with giving? It's just a thought. If we're aiming for radical generosity, then we are going to have to shift the question somehow. I will say this, a thing to be wary of is that if your giving is getting you into debt, then actually you're giving someone else's money, which is probably a problem. So I know David says that a lot, but pay your debts first. But remember the widow's coins too, because if all you can honestly get together is a fiver, I know from Scripture that God's not going to see that down. That fiver's worth a lot if that's all you can give. There's an opportunity next week to put some of this into action. We're having a pledge day to raise the additional funds we need for our hub project. I'm excited for the project. I'm genuinely excited for what God's going to do through it. I think we've got no idea of what God's doing and is going to do. But there is more to our generosity, both as individuals and as a church, than just building the hub project. That's a means to an end. The more we understand the generosity that God lavishes on us, the more our hearts will want to be generous to others. The Hub Project is part of that, but it's not everything. There's other stuff, other practical stuff too. There's the ongoing running costs of the church. Like electricity costs money, and well, it's easier if you can see the words. As a Baptist church, we don't get any money coming in from anywhere else. So we've got what we've got, or what we give. And that sustains the work and the ministry of this church. There's also generosity to other people in need. Some people prefer to do that in a structured way through a charity, like a development agency or a homelessness charity. Some people just like to buy coffees for homeless people they meet on the street. Both of those are valid generosity. I guess the thing that I'm wrestling with is that I want to want to be. And that isn't always easy. And I think there's something we can do about helping each other with that, encouraging each other with that, that we're all on this journey together. Some of us do better than others. Some of us had parents that drummed it into us at an early age. Some of us didn't. As we work together, as we walk together, there's something that we can do to help ourselves want to be more generous. Because if we want it, then it's much more likely to happen. But radical generosity makes as much of a difference to the giver as it does to the recipient. When the owner of that lovely van in Minneapolis chose to pay for the replacement himself, I believe that drew him closer to God. I know he knew Jesus. I think he was blessed as much as I was by that. When Mag's ex-colleague extended such profligate generosity outside a mud hut in Uganda, God worked in her too. What would it look like? What might the implications be for us as a church and for the work that we hope to do in the hub if we were to go from being the generous church that we already are to being a radically generous church? So let's take the time this week to consider what radical generosity might look like to us as individuals, to our families, to our church. Let's seek out new ways to give, not just our money, but our time and our expertise. Here in church, in our workplaces, causes we care about, random strangers, let's seek generosity. Because in doing so, I genuinely believe we're going to experience more of the presence of our risen, generous Jesus. And surely that's what we want. Amen.